The music in this episode contains language that some listeners may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Sound Thoughts on Art, a podcast from the National Gallery of Art. I'm your host, Celeste Headley. Art can engage all of our senses. We hear music, we see a photo, we walk around a sculpture, we taste fine food. Standing close to a favorite painting, we can even smell the wood or oil paint. But it's when our senses work together that things get really interesting. When we listen, what do we see in our mind's eye? When we stand in front of a painting, what do we hear? This podcast lives in that convergence. In every episode, you'll learn about a work in the National Gallery's collection from someone who knows the art and its context. You'll also hear a musician respond to that work through sound, creating a dialogue between the visual art and music. Sound Thoughts on Art tells the stories of how we experience art and how it connects us. In this episode, we explore what it means to be an activist. To be an activist in 2021 could entail any number of actions on scales massive and tiny. For artist Kerry James Marshall, it means creating pieces of art that depict Black Americans, and particularly Black men, with complexity and beauty, both traits that traditionally are more often ascribed to white artists and subjects. Untitled Man, a wood cutting he created in 2017, is just one example in a decades-long catalog of work. Though carved and inked with careful precision, the titular man raises more questions than he gives answers. His face could be smiling or grimacing. He could be hugging himself out of self-love or protecting his body. He could be in bondage. Musician and activist Jaziri X sees himself in the untitled man, and like many people of color, he sees several versions of himself, the one he presents to the world and the one that feels most authentic. And when Jaziri looks at the untitled man, he revisits a long-standing internal debate. Are artists too inherently privileged to be true activists? And if not, should an activist ever really take a vacation? When we asked Jaziri to respond to Untitled Man in music, he revisited these questions and some music he wrote when they were front and center in his mind. Tell me about this particular work of art and what you thought of, I guess, when you first saw it.
Yeah, so this is a piece by Kerry James Marshall called Untitled. And when I saw it, I saw depth in it. I mean, it's a piece of a Black man, but I kind of saw this, I guess, duality in it. You know, you can interpret it in different ways. You can interpret it as somebody smiling. You can interpret it as, you know, somebody kind of going through some things. It wasn't something that you just looked at and was like, oh, okay, this means this. You know, it was different layers to the piece, and that's what really, I guess, struck me about it.
Before we hear more from Jaziri X, though, let's learn more about Kerry James Marshall and Untitled Man from the National Gallery's own James Meyer.
Untitled Man is an image of a single person of African descent. His arms are clasped by his hands in a kind of crossing way, and he is staring out at a viewer, and his mouth is open. We can see his teeth, and he's staring at us.
Can you give us the contexts of this particular work, and what do you think of the year and the time in which he made this?
Well, the Black Lives Matter movement had been underway for several years, thinking, of course, about police violence against persons of color, particularly against Black men. So I think that that's the timely context for this work in 2017. But the artist has long been depicting Black men in different states of being, really throughout his career, going back to the 1980s. So we have to think about this work within a longer arc of his career.
Do you think this piece looks modern? If you had just seen it without knowing who had done it, would you know?
No.
When?
I would not. And to be honest, like, I would not think it was modern. You know what I'm saying? Off top. Like as I look closely at it, I can say, yeah, but I think, to me, that's the power of this piece. I think this piece can exist. You know, you could kind of say, oh, this might be like a black and white photo, you know, from the you know, 20s or 30s or 40s. But I think, to me, the sentiment that I get from this picture is timeless. To me, it encapsulates the experience of a black man in America, in my interpretation. So the sentiment is timeless. So you can take this and put it in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s. There hasn't been an era yet. You know, we hope to create one where we can be completely free and liberated. And so you can put that in any era at that point.
I wonder if you've tried putting your arms in the same position as this guy's arms are. And the reason I ask that is because when I tried to recreate that position, it forces you to hold yourself quite tightly. And I wonder what you think of that body language. How are we to interpret the way he's holding himself?
Well, an artist, of course, arranges a body, sometimes in ways that are not naturalistic, realistic, to capture some kind of meaning or feeling. Certainly you can grab your arms in this way if you want to, but it's an unusual position. It's not something we do. It seems defensive. It seems like he's being attacked. It seems like he's under duress.
The artist surreal, the code that broke the seal, the embodiment of God and the physical. So how do you see this piece then? I mean, do you think he is smiling?
So I see it several ways. I think you can look at it, and this is what I like about it. I think you can interpret it several ways. You know, so I see like almost like a smile through hardship and trials. That's kind of what I see. You know what I'm saying? So I see kind of like a resilience to it, and you know, even how like he has his hands positioned, it's almost like, to me, is resemblance of like a straitjacket. What I saw into it was this, you know, struggle of a black man in a system that seeks to, you know, criminalize us, that seeks to kind of like hold us back to where we can't really be our full, true, authentic selves. You know, because to be that would be, to some people would be scary, to some people would be, it'd be disrespectful or too flamboyant or too loud or whatever. How he's standing and kind of like where his arms, like that's not necessarily a natural where you have your arms like that. You know what I'm saying? To me, that's symbolic of like being kind of restrained. And so to me, it's like how somebody will say like, how are you doing today? Oh, it's all good. I'm good. But like you might be fighting inside, you know what I'm saying? And it's, you don't want to take the time to say, well, really, this is how it's, let me sit you down and tell you how I really feel. And so to me, I look at that as that's that face that you put on. You know, when I've occupied spaces that are, particularly art spaces, are very white and privileged. I have to, you know, I don't know necessarily if I want to use the word impress, but you want to make these connections because of what it could mean to your career. And so that's kind of what I see. And that's a little bit of what I've experienced personally.
So James, not every artist is also an activist, right? But that is definitely true of Marshall, who has been pretty vocal about political issues and his activism through his art. How does his activism influence what he chooses to create?
It's important to understand that Cary Marshall is of an age where he saw a great deal of activism as a child. He was born in 1955 in Birmingham, Alabama. And as a child, he was in a city where the civil rights movement really expressed itself quite famously. Was there when the 16th Street Baptist Church was bombed. His family moves to California, to Los Angeles in 1963, when he's 8 years old. And he sees the Watts riots with his own eyes in 1965. He also saw the Black Panthers in his neighborhood. They had their headquarters in South Central Los Angeles, where he lived. So he grew up with a very keen awareness of activism, and that has informed his work iconographically. There's paintings about the civil rights era, about civil rights memory, but also in terms of his own attitude of sort of getting his images into the world, into the museum, but beyond the museum, images of Black people where they are often absent.
So tell me about the pieces that you've chosen to accompany this work. And maybe we could start with Bay House. Why this particular piece goes well with this piece from Kerry James Marshall.
Right. So it's a couple of reasons. I think the first reason I kind of looked at this set of music is because this was actually music I created at a residency I did with the Robert Rauschenberg Foundation. So it was kind of connected to art in a way. It was the first time I was really able to go and, you know, just worry about like creating art. You know, most of the times I'm creating art in the midst of trying to do 101 other things, you know. That was one thing that made me think about it. But also I think in both pieces, I kind of talk about this, you know, this duality of kind of being able to do what I love to do, but then the kind of that internal fight. So Bay House 1 for me was about me kind of talking about, you know, this internal fight. And so that was actually the first song that I wrote at the Rauschenberg residency. That was the name of my room. So it's different houses. There's the beach house. There's the print house. And so I was in the Bay House and my room number was 1. So one of the things that inspired the song for me was inside of my room, like Robert Rauschenberg liked to read. So he would have like bookcases all over the different properties. So inside my room, I had this bookcases with just all these unique, different books, you know, from books on dreams or books on art to he also had the book like Without Sanctuary, which is photography of like lynchings in America. And like, so all of these things kind of came together as I started writing. And I was by myself. You know, like I was like kind of like by myself a lot. So being there kind of alone with my thoughts with these books, and that's what I produce.
Here's Bay House by Jaziri X, Uninterrupted.
Thoughts of a prophet inside a mind that's diabolic. The relationship can be described as symbiotic. Raps Rauschenberg throwaways of Jackson Pollock. Blinded every time I decided to face my promise. Posting highlights, ESPN Sports Centers of my life. They never see me dancing with the devil in the twilight. They only see me chilling, turning lemons in the limelight. Always giving opinions, every asshole's got hindsight. If life was just inside a booth in front of live mics, I would be Christ-like. The white knight of the nightlife, enveloped in darkness without a nightlight. The walking dead looks lifelike as zeitgeist. Big city bright lights, Las Vegas on fight night. I travel through the chaos like Muhammad in night flight. Vampires, fright night, black death and white flight. No pen and pad, I type right. The art is surreal, the code that broke the seal, the embodiment of God and the physical on the wheel. Soldiers that's in the field, the kings behind the shields, when icons turn into pythons and start to peel. I'm the product of the pain and seeing my parents kill. Vigilante, Carlito Bracani hand me the steel. When the highest of the tyrants and giants are made to kneel. At last I can take off my mask and be revealed. Writing Coptic, not hyperbolic, it's hydroponic. Kids conscious like Dap Dunlap at Mission College. It's Adonis after 400 years of hidden knowledge. I stand before a man as a god, not mythologic. Light up the horizon, the living comet. Luxury, money, go homes and friendships. I live as promised. It's my blood and my sweat and my tears. A written doctrine. The glory of Allah and the sin of a risen prophet is I. split personality or man's duality, or human fallacy to just assume the analogy. If my true mentality is to be in tune with the galaxy, why should I be satisfied with a view and a salary? Would you love what's in hip-hop if you knew the reality? When they turn the cameras off and start removing the batteries, I try to tell myself what I'm pursuing is mastery, and hope that I'm not losing my sanity.
What do you think the feeling is of Bayhouse One? Like, what's the emotion?
I think it's very, like, reflective. For me, it's kind of the struggle between, like, my best self in a sense of, like, this artistic part that I feel like, man, I'm very well at. And then maybe you would say, like, my worst self, which is some of the things I struggle with personally. And I think, like, when you're, you know, when you're by yourself, in isolation, there's a tendency to, like, do that self-introspection. So I definitely think the music, it's sort of up-tempo, but it's a feeling that the music gives you to me. You know, I write to the production. Like, I normally don't come up with an idea until I hear, like, what the beat is saying and kind of the emotion the beat is giving me. And so that was like, you know, the melody and the music caused me to write, I would say, like, introspectively.
So let's talk about the next piece, Live from Captiva.
Yes.
How is that one different emotionally from the Bayhouse piece?
So Live from Captiva. So Captiva is actually where the Robert Rauschenberg, that's the name of the town, it's Captiva, Florida. If you kind of look, and like I said, my interpretation of the expression of the untitled man was kind of like how I felt in Captiva. Like, of there was a part of me that was really, you know, of course I'm honored to be there. I'm down there, like it's a beautiful estate. You know, I have access to everything that I want or need. I can kind of just focus on music. We had like a chef. So like lunch and dinner was like, that was the only requirement, was like for you to come and lunch and dinner. It was all these other amazing artists that were there. But there was another part of me that felt like, I felt guilty being there. That felt like, man, I'm here and I'm in this kind of paradise situation. And folks back where I'm from, I live in a place called Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh is one of the poorest inner city Black communities in the country. You know, so I'm like, man, I'm on this beach. You know what I mean? I'm like, I have all this access. And it's like the majority of people in my community will never see anything like this. Don't have access to this. Don't have access to these opportunities. So it was also a feeling of like, guilt to be in there. I don't know if you understand that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I do understand that.
Right. So there's a line in Live from Captiva where I'm like, did Dr. King have a vacay? Did the Black Panthers have a play day? You know what I mean? So I'm asking, like, is it okay almost to like take this time to like just kind of have this experience? And I think as an artist, it gives you access to these places and spaces that a lot of people just never have access to. So I often feel that when I walk in, that I'm not, I'm not there just representing myself, you know, that I'm representing a community. And part of my responsibility is to not only take that experience back, but in some way help to open the doors for other people in my community to have those same experiences.
So connect that back for me to the piece of art. And something made you think of both your own piece, which is talking about, I guess, the guilty of enjoying something that's essentially good.
Right.
To this piece by Marshall. Why?
So, like I said, I mean, what I see is, and I think, like, you know, and that, to me, that's why I really like about this piece, because I think it's open to interpretation. It's like, to what you see. You know, to me, this is what dope art is. It's like, you look at it and it gives you an emotion. So for me, it's almost like a mirror in a sense of, like I said, like what I see is kind of a reflective expression, but at the same time, the position of the hands of the piece kind of show me like almost like you're trapped in. It's like, you know, like the like society in a sense won't let you break through and be kind of like your full self. And so that's kind of how I relate it to a lot of times when I walk into these experiences. Even going down there, it's like, I have to be reserved in even how I interact with the artists around me. You know what I'm saying? If I'm my real, full, authentic self, somebody might get offended. Somebody might take it the wrong way, or somebody might see me as a threat, or I might mess up this opportunity for another artist coming from behind me. So I have to be reserved. Like, I have to hold myself, you know, back in a sense. You feel me? Like, and that's kind of what I saw in this piece.
What are we to make of the Black person, the Black American, especially through Marshall's eyes?
I would say he's interested in Black subjects as a whole, including diasporic subjects, not just Americans, and representing a range of subjectivities and feelings, duress and trauma, but also a kind of satisfaction. Later on in his career, he did images of couples walking on the beach, looking sort of rather contented. So a range of responses, a range of subjects, not just one traumatized subject. He's trying to reach different audiences. And he's also, of course, trying to reach the museum. He sees the museum as the destination of his art because museums have too few images of Black individuals on their walls.
When you're Black in America, in certain spaces, you know, when I left college, I was a mortgage broker. My given name is Jasiri, but I felt like if I used my name Jasiri, most of the time you're talking to people on the phone, they were automatically like, kind of like, oh, I'm ethnic. You know, what is that? What does that mean? So I just use J, period. So then you don't know, you don't have those, you know, when you hear Jasiri, it's automatically, it's like, oh, that's foreign sounding. That's exotic
what
sounding.
What did that feel like? But what did it feel like to replace your name with J?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like the brother in the picture. It's like, you got to hold yourself back. And I think that's been a lot of the experience of not just, I mean, you know, not even just Black people, like you say. I'm sure there's cases of women in certain environments where you feel like you got to put on a certain face. And, you know, in the Black community, we call it like code switching.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like, I can't come into the environment. I can't dress the way I want. I can't speak the way I want. I can't be fully authentically me, because somebody might take it in a different way. And so, like I said, I see particularly the positions of his hands, almost like I see it as like, to me, it's symbolic of like a straitjacket, and like, you got to hold yourself back. To me, the expression is like, I'm alive, I'm here, you know, I'm blessed to be here. However, I can't be my full and true self. And that's what I interpret in this piece.
Here's Live from Captiva by Jasiri X one more time, uninterrupted.
My cup runneth over me. Blessings leaving stains over the upholstery. Feeling guilty, seeing the pain of those close to me. Hopefully, they'll feel this like it was dopamine. APDTA for looking over me. Gave me food, I still had to cook the groceries. Pushing deep inside those universal ovaries. Sowing seeds, 10 years later, I'm still growing dreams. This is live from Captiva. Who else got a fellowship in spitting that ether? Black preacher, adapt to crack speakers. If you haven't struck gold, then you need to rap deeper. You can take it as a jewel. Is this universal law? I'm not making up the rules. No, I'm not a prophet. I'm just breaking in their shoes. Saying peace, even assalamu alaikum to the fools. Look up. Did Malcolm X have a vacay? Did Dr. King have a play day? Did the Panthers throw barbecues in their heyday? Where everybody partied, no need for the 8K. Waiting in the waves, but my mind's on a struggle. Relax, all I know is the grind and the hustle. Wanna bring me where it's safe, then make me blind to the trouble. Domesticated nigga, take the line out the jungle. This is live from Captiva, where I'm from. It's cold to survive the blast heaters. Letting them guns blow and then ride like fast cheetahs. In my hood, them souls don't die from bad fevers. This is for my sister Janice and all those that we lost in the streets. Is the cost for peace more or less than the cost of a piece? And will I start a riot when I let it off at the beach? Blow!
Thanks once again to Jaziri X for joining us. You can re-listen to the music he shared with us on our website. Just go to nga.gov/podcast. Sound Thoughts on Art is a production of the National Gallery of Art's Music Department. The show was created by Danielle Deswert-Hahn, the National Gallery's head of music programs, and mixed and produced by Maura Curry. You can find more information about everything in today's episode at the National Gallery's website, nga.gov/podcast. If you enjoyed this episode of Sound Thoughts on Art, we would love for you to subscribe. Also, leave us a review wherever you're listening. I'm Celeste Headlee. Until next time, be well.